Jaya Radha Madhava Kanja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kanja Bihari. Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Radha Madhava Kanja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kanja Bihari. Tijana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kanja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kanja Bihari. Radha Madhava Kanja Bihari. Jayam Vishnupada Paramahamsa Parigrahaika Acharya Sthitara Sata Sri Simad His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya, His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ganta Rashimud Bhagavatam Ki Gaura Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Written from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 10th chapter, titled Deliverance of the Yamalar Gentries, text number 9. Hanyate Pashavo Yatra Nirudayar Ajitatmabhi vandyamanair imam deham ajara mrityu nashwaram hanyate parshavo yatra nirdayair ajitatmabhi vandyamanair imam deham ajara mrityu nashwaram hanyate parshavo yatra nirdayair ajitatmabhi mandyamanair imam deham ajara mrityu nashwaram hanyate parshavo yatra nirdaya rajitatmabhi Mandyamanari mandeham Ajara mrityu nasvaram Hanyate pashavo yatra Nirdaya rachitatmabhi Mandyamanari mandeham Ajara mrityu nashwaram Hanyate pashavo yatra Nirdaya rajitatmabhi Mandyamanair imam deham Ajara mrityu nashwaram Ladies. Hanyate pashavo yatra nirdaya ajitatmabhi mandyamanari mandeham ajara mrityu nashwaram hanyate pashavo yatra nirdaya ajitatmabhi Manjamayneri mandeham Ajaramrityu nasvaram Hanyate are killed in many ways, especially by slaughterhouses. Pashavaha, four-legged animals. Horses, sheep, cows, hogs, etc. Yatra, wherein, nirdayai, by those merciless persons who are conducted by the mode of passion. Ajita atmabhi, rascals who are unable to control the senses. Vandyamanai are thinking, imam, this, deham, body, ajara, will never become old or diseased. Apmritu, death will never come. Nashwaram, although the body is destined to be annihilated. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Unable to control their senses, rascals who are falsely proud of their riches or their birth in aristocratic families are so cruel that to maintain their perishable bodies, which they think will never grow old or die, they will kill poor animals without mercy. Sometimes they kill animals merely to enjoy an excursion. Purport. When the modes of passion and ignorance increase in human society, giving rise to unnecessary economic development, the result is that people become involved with wine, women, and gambling. Then, being mad, they maintain big slaughterhouses or occasionally go on pleasure excursions to kill animals. Forgetting that however one may try to maintain the body is subject to birth, death, old age, and disease. Such foolish rascals engage in sinful activities one after another. Being Duskritis, they completely forget the existence of the Supreme Controller, who is sitting within the core of everyone's heart. Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Hridesher Juna Tishtati. That Supreme Controller is observing every bit of one's activity. And he rewards or punishes everyone by giving one a suitable body made by material nature. Brahmayam Sarva Bhutani Jandra Rudhani Maya. In this way, sinful persons automatically receive punishment in different types of bodies. The root cause of this punishment is that when one unnecessarily accumulates wealth, one becomes more and more degraded, not knowing that his wealth will be finished with his next birth. Nasadu manja yatatmanoyam asanmapi kleshada asadeha. Animal killing is prohibited. Every living being, of course, has to eat something. Jivo jivasya jivanam. But one should be taught that what kind of food one should eat. Therefore, the Upanishad instructs, tena tyaktena bhunjita. One should eat whatever is allotted for human beings. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayasati tadaham bhaktyupahritam ashnami prayatatmanoho. Quote, if one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. Unquote. A devotee, therefore, does not eat anything that would require slaughterhouses for poor animals. Rather, devotees take prasad of Krishna, tena tyaktena bhunjita. Krishna recommends that one give him pashtram pushpam phalam toyam, a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water. Animal food is never recommended for human beings. Instead, a human being is recommended to take prasada, remnants of food left by Krishna. Yagyashi sastina santo mukshante sarvakilvishai. If one practices eating prasad, even if there is some little sinful activity involved, one becomes free from the result of sinful acts. Amagyanati mirandasya gnanam jana shalakaya shakshur militam jena tasmai sri gurave namaha pancha kalpataru vyascha kripa sindhu vyaiva cha patitanam bhavana vyo vaishnava vyo namo namaha sri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda sri advaita gadadhar siva sari gaur bhakta vrinda hare krishna 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 hare 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 rama 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 hare hare. So this verse is a continuation of this story of these two individuals, Nalakuvera and Manigriva. These are simply the opening slokas of the whole story. And we can see the trademark of Narada Muni's preaching. We know how Narada Muni, in several parts of this Bhagavatam, in several stories, in several incidents and events, Narada Muni has a very peculiar way of preaching. He said, like Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Prabhupada himself, they often said that sadhus are oftentimes very direct. Sadhus are able to deliver the message, the important message to the recipients, sometimes have to be done in a manner which is maybe under normal conventions, it may be kind of harsh. But here Narada Muni is saying rascals. He's calling them rascals. And Prabhupada in the Purport calls them Duskritis, fools, foolish rascals. It's interesting to note that Wealth is a very polluting thing unless one engages in Krishna consciousness. It's like everything else. I mean, this description of what's going on here, killing animals and going on excursions, you know, hunting excursions, this was a so-called pastimes or aristocratic families in England, and all over Europe. And so the Americans, when they disassociated themselves from the ties with England, they kind of kept the same things. So now it's not only the queen or the king or the aristocrats that go on hunting, but now everybody else goes on hunting. Shudras, Vaishyas, whoever can afford to buy a gun can go on hunting, kill animals. And Prabhupada says it right here, I mean, in the word for word, four-legged animals, horses, sheep, cows, hogs. Of course, in America, nobody goes on hunting horses, but who knows? But certainly they go on hunting many other animals, oftentimes just for sports, like Prabhupada said here. Well, not the Muni says here. Is there water here? Can have a little bit of water. So, what do we gain from this? Why is Prabhupada mixing this kind of preaching in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam? When Srila Prabhupada has already preached oftentimes the same message in several parts of the Bhagavatam, and many of his japa walks, many of his room conversations, Prabhupada keeps hammering the same point of animal killing. Why is Prabhupada bringing it up again? This is the 10th canto now. And as we said before, these last chapters of the Bhagavatam, 10th canto, Prabhupada translated them when Prabhupada was seemingly very ill and ready to leave this world. So why is it that Srila Prabhupada is so necessary to bring it up again? This is very interesting because thank you. Because usually the message needs to be repeated. The message of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the message of the great acharyas, like Narada Muni, great personalities, Mahajans, leaders of human society, they need to stress the same thing. Because in the material world, to curb the animalistic tendencies of the body, the urges of the body, the leaders of society need to emphasize these things. How can we curb it? How can we control it? Ajitatma bhi, Srila Narada Muni uses this expression here, ajitatma bhi, fools who are unable to control their senses. And as we know, the senses are very strong. I mean, we all have experience. Different times, different circumstances, we have been exposed to situations in which either we give in to the senses or we become self-controlled. We all do that. Every day, we are exposed to situations in which you have to exercise your own judgment, whether you give in to material sense enjoyment or whether you become self-controlled. And one of those urges are the urges of the tongue. Srila Rupa Goswami had said in his Upadesamrita that as soon as we are born, there are the urges of the body. Pachavegam, manasakrathavegam, jivavegam, mudarapastavegam. The first urges are that we want to eat something. That's called anamoy. Vachavegam, manasakrathavegam. The baby, when he's born, he or she is born, immediately they cried out because they want to eat something. So, and the mother has to supply breast milk. So that's the first thing. The body begins to demand things. It's I mean, we're helpless in those things. jivabhigam udarupastabhigam. And why is that? It's because the connected to the tongue, connected to the tasting drive is the hunger drive. The stomach is demanding food. Udarupasta, and then the stomach demands food, and the genitals get agitated. So Vakshavegam, Manasakrodhavigam. On top of that, now that we have a tongue and a mouth, we want to talk all kinds of things. That's what Srila Rupa Goswami says. Vacha Vegam, this urge to speak. Manasa Vegam, this the demands of the mind. The mind wants attention. The mind wants to engage in thinking, feeling, and willing around the material sense objects. So, Vacha Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam. Now the point is that why is krodha being involved? Why is anger being involved? It's because the soul, when involved in the material existence, when we get involved in the modes of nature, they are all designed, even the senses actually, the senses, the body that we have, the circumstance where we live, our own environment, the modes of nature, the world itself is designed not to be satisfied. So even though we have these urges, all these many urges, we still cannot find satisfaction. And so what comes out is frustration, krodhavigam. But as another type of urge, is the krodhavigam, is this anger that nothing is going on the way I want it. And so I hate the world, or I hate everybody. Isn't it? That goes on oftentimes. But what we fail to understand and fail to recognize is that Krishna has designed this whole thing that precisely that way. So that we don't get illusioned that material arrangements will supply our need for transcendental satisfaction. That's not possible. As we all know, Prabhupada gives this classical analogy of the fish out of the water. So these things are going on all over the universe, even among these two demigods here. No one is immune to these things. Nobody is immune, not because, because I'm the son of Kuvera here. He's my dad, then I can do whatever I want. Or because I'm, born in ISKCON, my parents are devotees, so I can do whatever I want. This is a message, actually. It is really a disgrace that people who are born into these great families, they misuse this opportunity. We've seen many times that our own kids in ISKCON have this weakness of intoxication. I mean, Prabhupada calls it wine, but really, it's really intoxication. It's sad, but it happens. It's happening right now. The same thing goes with, it's not that association with women is bad. What is bad is illicit association with women. Because many of us are married, many of us are wives, many of us are daughters, many of us are mothers, grandmothers. But what is bad, what is sinful, is the illicit association with women. And that still goes on. So that's why Prabhupada is bringing it up right here in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. Before he leaves this planet, Prabhupada is talking about the things. Become sinful. So, of course, the Krishna consciousness movement is spreading this message of Narada Muni, spreading the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, spreading the messages of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, spreading the messages of Srila Prabhupada, that we had to somehow or other convince these people, convince human society that their things are unwanted, that their things are detrimental to one's spiritual health. But the best way we can do this is by ourselves imbibing into this culture of Krishna consciousness. It is very hard to deliver a message unto others. It's like a policeman who wants to enforce the law upon you, but he himself breaks the law. How can, you know? It just doesn't make sense. I mean, we find that nobody is above the law. Even the police force. Oftentimes we see that when there are corrupted police officers, corrupted judges, corrupted lawyers, corrupted politicians, they also get jailed when they get caught because nobody is above the law. So similarly, there are certain moral laws, there are certain spiritual laws that we abide by, and these four regulative principles are the most basic way in which we can convince the world that to become a decent human being, to become a transcendentalist, this is the minimum, this is the required, these are the requirements. Below this, we can go anywhere. So the devotees have the mandate from the Supreme Lord Himself, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that in order for us to preach this Krishna consciousness movement, we are the first ones to have to practice these teachings. Because we are the ones who carry this message. So we should be very conscientious of what we are doing. It's not that the life of a devotee can be taken so lightly like that. That sometimes I can commit some sinful activity, nobody's seeing me, you know, it's okay. I just do this one time. So, but Krishna is seeing, Prabhupada is saying here, in the purport. The Supreme Controller is observing every beat of one's activity, and He rewards or punishes every one by giving one a suitable body made of material nature. We can fool ourselves, but we cannot fool Krishna. That's the thing. The more we become conscious of this fact, that Krishna is always present, the easier it becomes to remain Krishna conscious. But the more we cultivate this idea that I'm separate from Krishna, the more we cultivate this idea that Krishna is not here right now, the more we cultivate this loneliness, that we're alone, that nobody's watching, the more we do that, the more we fall into material existence. The failure of most people who commit sinful activities is because they fail to recognize the omnipresence of the Lord in their own hearts and the hearts of others and all over the creation. Because this is all Krishna's energy. Prabhupada explains oftentimes that the energy and the energetic are one unity, eternally separated, but they're one unit. It's hard to understand this, but in this world we don't have an example in which something can be, or a person can be two persons and yet one at the same time. We don't have that example. So it is hard to grasp this concept that Krishna's energies are not, although they are separated, quote-unquote, from Him, but they still are predominated by Krishna. And so the more we cultivate this, the more we can see this, how Krishna's presence is manifesting all over the place, especially in our own lives, the easier it becomes to remain saintly, a devotee of Krishna. Very important message here from this story. It was also said in the previous slokas that Nalakuvera and Manigriva, they were direct associates of Lord Shiva, actually. They were, that's why they were allowed to enter into this forest, this part of the Ganges, because it's in the outskirts of Lord Shiva's personal forest. What's the name of that forest? It's some kind of name, specific name that only Lord Shiva and his... What? Nandakana, that forest. They say that everybody who enters there turns into a woman. So that's Lord Shiva's private, you know, private place. So this area in which Nalakuvera and Manigriva were, that actually was surrounding that area. So... And it's explained in Naradmuni in previous verses that because they were associates of Lord Shiva, they were able to have that privilege of hanging around these nice places. So what? But what did they do? They misuse it. It really what counts is the intention. Prabhupada mentioned in a few other shlokas before this one. Oh, here, right here. In the chapter, in text number 4, Prabhupada and the Purport says that it is not that everyone becomes purified by entering the Ganges. Rather, everything, spiritual and material, depends on one's mental condition. So here we have two demigods, powerful demigods, associates of Lord Shiva, direct sons of Kuvera, but misusing everything. Their intention was sinful. You can also have, actually, people go around naked. In India, you find the Naga Babas, for example. They go around naked, but they're not engaged in sinful activities. Their intention is something else. I mean, even the own speaker of the Bhagavatam was naked. Srila Sukadeva Goswami, he was naked, sitting in front of all these great munis. And why wasn't he cursed? Actually, he was in front of even Narada Muni. But Narayana didn't curse him. Why? Because the intention, the intent, the mental, the deliberate calculation that people do, we all do those things all the time. We always have, most of the time when we are acting, when we are performing a certain action, we have already some kind of mental predisposition to do it. And so why is it that on the one hand, Sukadeva Goswami being naked didn't get cursed, and on the other hand, Nalakuvera Manigriva did get cursed? Why is that? It's the intention. It's the mental state. It's the mental condition. It's where are we at in our own consciousness, in our own level of consciousness? Being naked in and of itself is not a... how you say... It's not sinful, in and of itself, technically speaking. Although, we are not encouraging people to go around naked here, but that's not the case. In other words, we see the stories right here. Two stories is the intention, what matters. This is why we see in our movement, people come to ISKCON. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita himself, there are four types of people that come to me. Those who are stressed out, burned out from material existence and they want some relief. Those who are seeking some kind of prosperity like that. And what are the other two? Right. It's the Munis, the sages. So, we had to become very introspective ourselves as to why are we here? Why are we, even those who are born in the devotee families, we have to become introspective. Why is it that I'm doing here? What under those four categories, where I am at? Am I looking for prosperity? Am I looking for relief from material miseries? Am I looking for the absolute truth? What am I looking for? And we should situate ones, that's the intention that we have to develop. We have to develop the intention to become devotees of Krishna. Because otherwise it's not going to work. We see many people coming to ISKCON, becoming prominent, and suddenly one day they just collapse. Why is that? And everybody's like, because in the material world, we tend to think that the more you become accomplished in something, the more successful you are. But success in Krishna consciousness is actually the intention of the activity. It's love, actually. Bhakti. Bhakti yoga means love of Krishna. And the more we develop love of Krishna, whether we are sweeping the temple room every day, or whether we are the GVC of the whole place, is what counts as the intention. That's what really counts. Just what it counts here is the intention of being naked. Nalakubera Manigriva had a different frame of mind than Sukada Goswami. They got cursed, he didn't. And what was the whole, the only difference is the intention. So we have to be conscientious like that. We have to be introspective about the things. And that the way we'll attain the mercy of the Lord, mercy of the spiritual master, by the association of devotees, by engaging ourselves in Krishna conscious activities right in this temple. There's so many ways that we can get engaged. And we should remember, what's the intention? What's my intention to be here? What's my intention of being a devotee? And that's what's going to matter most. Any comment or questions? Yes, Prabhu here.
About eating prasadam and committing sin. And when I first joined, I lived in Chicago, and we had only a few people living there. My wife was Pujari, and she made very opulent meals, and three times a day we ate very opulent meals. And I noticed sometimes at lunch we would start getting really like drunk and laughing and rolling on the floor. And I was really concerned because it was really affecting our consciousness. So I went from Chicago all the way to New York City to see Srila Prabhupada to ask him about this. And at first, they wouldn't let me talk to him because I was more of a nobody then than I am now, you know. But I put a note under his door and went to the temple to, you know, to feel sorry for myself. And 2 minutes later, I heard, Ma Ananda Prabhu wants to see you in his room right away, you know. So they marched me up there, and they put me in his room and closed the door behind me, so I was alone with Prabhupada. And he asked me, what did I want, you know, and I tried to explain, and I stammered and stuttered, you know, and I was really, like, very petrified. And I do remember he said two things. He said one thing twice. He said, you cannot incur sin by eating prasadam.
You can know what?
You cannot incur sin by eating prasadam.
Okay.
And then he said it again. And then after a while, you know, and then he looked at me, he said, Arti's going on? I said, yes, Prabhupada. He said, go to Arti.
Here's a tiny Prabhu. Get it closer.
So, is it on?
Yeah.
I've heard it said that the Kshatriyas would engage in killing animals as part of their service.
Right.
You know, they have to protect people. So, in a sense, they have to go out and practice the art of killing.
Right.
So, is this something that's, in the Shastra?
Yeah, well, obviously, those who are in charge of protecting society physically, kshatriyas, warriors, they have to practice. And it's stated in the Dharma Shastras. The Kshatras are the only ones who are allowed to do that. And usually Prabhupada also explains that in those days, Kshatras went to the forest, especially when there was an increase of predators, animal predators. And so the Kshatras would practice on that. It's not that the Kshatras went there, you know, shooting arrows at cows or, you know. But predators especially, the Kshatras were able to decrease the population, overpopulation of predators. But they are the only ones who are allowed to do. Brahmanas are not allowed to kill. In fact, Brahmanas are not predisposed to kill. The only time Brahmanas actually do killing is when they were engaged in animal sacrifices for religious purposes. But that was also under very strict circumstances, strict conditions and limitations. The Vaishyas and the Sudras were not allowed to kill animals. Nowadays, of course, actually this whole thing is pretty much America here. Slaughterhouses and my gun rights. I have the right to carry a gun and go and shoot. That's what it is here. The more prosperity you have, the more you think you can do things with your prosperity that you're not allowed to by the philosophy of Krishna himself. So, yes, Mataji over there. You have to shake it a little bit. It's a stone inside, actually.
Stone inside, yes, called Kaaba. And every year they make this new $5 million gold thread cover for it.
Right.
It takes like 25 men to carry it, and the very last thing is only one god. And people come from all around the world to perform the Hajj. And once they get there, the men put on basically like a white sweater and white dhoti.
Right.
Bring in 2,000 butchers from all around the Middle East, and they set up this massive thing, and they slaughtered about 800,000 goats. Pilgrims are thinking, we repented, we followed the law of
Mm-hmm. Well, Prabhupada succinctly, very succinctly, Prabhupada, one of the purposes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, says that these religious systems, Islam, Christianity, Judaism, these are religious meant for meat eaters. They're meant for meat eaters. So we can see, actually, that, I mean, it's not that Prabhupada says, you know, don't be a Christian or don't be a Jew or don't be a Muslim, but the that's not meant for a transcendentalist. The practice of Judaism, the practice of these Abrahamic religions, they have as a common thread is to slaughter on animals. And therefore, even though there is some piety in other things that they do, they still got to pay for that. It's like Prabhupada said here in the purport. Prabhupada said here in the purport that in this way, people automatically receive punishment in different types of bodies. And the root cause of this punishment is that when there is an accumulation of unnecessary wealth, one becomes more and more degraded. So the intention, what is the intention of these religious sacrifices? What's the intention? Yeah. It is one thing to sacrifice an animal for religious purpose in ancient times, Hebrew times, and it's another thing to organize mass slaughter of animals for satisfying the tongue, the slaughterhouses. I mean, same thing in the Vedic system. In the Vedic system, ages ago, eons ago, there were Brahmins who were also killing animals, but they didn't have slaughterhouses. That was the Prabhupada's point. So for some reason, they degraded themselves from having a religious sacrifice into a business of making, you know, selling meat. That's the problem. I mean, technically speaking, even though we are living in the age of Kali and we're not, and animal sacrifices are not conducive anymore for spiritual advancement, but technically speaking, in those days, people could have engaged in animal sacrifice, animal killing, with good intentions, and they were allowed to do that. But nowadays in Kali Yuga, that's not allowed. And that's why you will see that Prabhupada explains oftentimes that this society is always usually plagued by diseases, by wars, by pestilence, by, you know, natural disturbances, just like last year, I mean, a year and a half ago, there was a tsunami, a couple of tsunamis, you know, entire towns wiped out in a few minutes. I mean, how do you explain that? If we do not consider the theory of karma as outlined by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, then if we don't do that, then God is unjust. Why is he killing so many people? They would say. They still do think like that. Many people nowadays, they become atheists because for some reason some calamity befalls them or befalls their family members, and then they say, why God allow these things? Why is God so unconcerned about this thing? Why is God, just like actually a week ago, my niece, a 13-year-old girl, she died. While her mother, my cousin, was in the synagogue. She was engaged in some, you know, religious thing. Then her daughter died at home. So a lot of the people become atheists because here I am serving God and suddenly my daughter is dead. Heart attack. So we have to be cautious of the things. What's the intention? Our intention in Krishna consciousness is to develop love of God. If somebody is not in Krishna consciousness, their intentions will be sense gratification. In most of these religious systems in the world nowadays, they want, like Prabhupada said, they want God to become one servant. You know, God give me this, God give me that. Give me a pretty wife, a wealthy husband. Or, you know, it's always like, even in the Bhagavatam it is said, in the first canto, second canto of the Bhagavatam, there's a whole shopping list of how you can approach the demigods for different reasons. And for what? Ultimately, what is it? Ultimately is, I'm not interested in God that much. I'm interested in God only as long as He provides me with things. So all these religious systems that you were talking about, Abrahamic incident of Abraham trying to kill his son, or Islamic understanding of animal sacrifice. Actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that in all these things there is a hint of love of God. It's not that they are bad. There is a hint of love of God in there, and that's what needs to be cultivated. So in Krishna consciousness, we're all over the world, in Muslim countries, in Christian countries, and everywhere, atheist countries. And we preach Krishna consciousness. This is the only way that people can find some solace. There's nothing. There's nothing left. There's nothing else to do in this world. I mean, what's America? Look at it. What's America? This country is very prosperous, but what people do with that prosperity? They engage in sinful activities. Just like Nala Kuvera Manigriva. What they do with their status as associates of Lord Shiva, sons of Kuvera, but the first thing they do, and they engage in sinful activity. Lack of it, the intention is what really define them. We are defined by our intentions. Are we a devotee to Krishna because we like the status, or are we devoted to Krishna because we want to love Krishna? That's the thing. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.